But Justin is here, and Justin, what's your Lost in the 50s weekend look like? What are your plans?
Well, I'm going to do a shameless plug because my son just opened his own coffee shop. He's 22 years old, and it's right next to Joel's. And
I've seen that advertised.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be there. Hopefully really, really busy with foot traffic from Lost in the 50s. I was talking to Rob, the organizer, and he said that they actually extended it to 3rd Street. So we'll be right. There'll be cars parked in front of us on Saturday. And so if it is raining, it's a nice dry place to hang out. We got couches and a place to hang out. But that's going to be that'll be my Lost in the 50s. And then, of course, hoping with the grad night booth that will be posted up within the other vendors. So
where's the coffee shop is? It's next to Joel. Joel's is.
It's between Alpine and Joel's.
Okay.
So 213 Church.
It's the Courser building.
Yeah, the Courser building.
The Courser building. Okay. We're going to have to check that out. If you want to meet Justin, that's where he'll be this weekend. And then you mentioned that you're going to be doing you're working the booth for Sandpoint Grad Night.
I will. I'll be back and forth. We have some phenomenal parent volunteers that will be out there selling prize drawing tickets. We have a really good prize drawing this year. And then they'll have some hot chocolate in case it's a little chilly, but for the most part, we're also raffling off a car detailing basket that has some stuff to keep your car clean and shiny. So
nice.
Fits right in with the Lost in the 50s weekend.
For sure.
Cool.
So exactly where are the booths? You said you're part of the booths.
The booth, we got information. It'll be on around 2nd and
Main.
So kind of by the Bleeding Hearts tattoo area. It's a general spot right now, and then they'll give us more information on Saturday when we go to set up. So
cool.
Okay. That little kind of there's other people there too, I think. The activity area. And is that does that get loud down there?
Oh, I'm sure it gets really loud, especially when they turn the cars on. Everybody turns them on at the same time.
Yeah. Talking about grad night, have you been involved in this before?
I actually have not. Well, in a way, I was a parent volunteer in 2022 when my oldest son graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went out and helped set up the fairgrounds, but I wasn't as intimately involved as I am this year. Just saw a need and filled it. And so far we've been progressing. It's been a journey, but building that energy to go towards the actual event, because it's a really important event that we have. And it's actually been going on for 51 years in Sandpoint without a miss. So
So 70s sometimes started.
And if you're just joining us, Justin is the president this year of the parent committee of Sandpoint High School Grad Night. Going on for 51 years. What is Grad Night?
So Grad Night is a safe and sober party that we throw for graduates on actual graduation day. So starts around 9:30 at night and goes till 3 in the morning. And it's a place where parents can send their kids to have one last hurrah with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a ton of activities planned, a lot of good food, DJ. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's sober. So they do get breathalyzed and they check in. So it's only our seniors that are able to go. They walk away with amazing prizes. Part of our fundraising effort is to buy things for them, either going into college or something that, you know, maybe they can't afford on their own or just have never had. So they walk out with a gift, a swag bag that's full of coupons and gift certificates from local businesses. And it's really an amazing event to help the grads kind of exit senior year.
Yeah. When I went to high school, I had a grad night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, parent run grad night. Yeah, how about you, Justin?
I did not.
Okay.
And
You missed out.
I probably wouldn't have gone. I wasn't.
So did you win any prizes at your grad night? Do you remember?
I did. I won a little, a tiny little TV with a DVD player in it.
Cool.
Yes. Oh, it was very useful. Yes. Got that thing got a lot of love.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, that was I do remember that though. I mean, and I think our at the high school I went to, it had also been going on for a number of years. It's a kind of a great idea, and the germ of it is just keep kids off the road, keep them someplace safe.
Yeah,
and it's because that once upon a time that was one of the most dangerous
nights of the year. Yeah. Still is, and yeah. So that's kind of the goal of of just keeping kids safe.
Yeah.
Is there still the car wreck demonstration that the high school puts on?
They do. Yeah, they do that, I think, the third week of May.
Oh, okay.
Right going into graduation, just showing them. And they still do the whole scene. So, like, the police show up, an ambulance shows up, and it's a big event to kind of prepare them for.
Thing.
Yeah.
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 I wonder if the whole... sober and safe grad night thing started as a result of Mad Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Isn't that kind of the period of time that they came forward?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Certainly all kind of related.
Yeah.
I mean, related. I think Mad was I think of Mad as being in like kind of the 1980s.
Oh, do you?
Being more. I was surprised to learn how long Grad Night has been going on. I kind of thought, it probably started in the 1990s or something like that.
It was crazy. As we were out fundraising, I was talking to a local business owner that graduated from Sandpoint High School. And that's what he told me. He's like, I remember 30 years ago, I went to my Grad Night. And then I talked to his dad. And his dad was like, I've been a part of 5 grad nights. And
oh, wow.
So he just kept volunteering because he saw the impact that it was having.
Sure.
And I just thought that was really cool to meet multiple generations of Sandpoint people that are involved. And they wanted to be involved in maybe not necessarily in the evening itself, but in the fundraising effort and in the in just making it happen for these kids it's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would just mention that Mothers Against Drunk Driving and MAD started in 1980.
Okay.
So, I mean, similar time period, but actually the Sandpoint Grad Night is older.
Yeah.
It has been going on for a longer period of time.
Yeah, 5 years longer.
Yeah. That would be an early one, I think. That's an early kind of parent run, it seems to me. At least in this area, maybe nationwide. It's a great idea, though. So what do we'll talk more about what exactly happens during the course of grad night. I'm sure there's some surprises that you don't want to broadcast, but when people see, it's a very active, the parent committee is a very active organization. We see flyers around, you're hosting fundraisers and things like that. So what are those funds are going towards? What?
So that's actually a really cool thing about Grad Night is everything is community and parent funded. So we don't use loans or grants or anything like that. It's completely community involved. And so we've hosted a few takeovers over the course of the last couple months. We did a silent auction at the Pondere Winery and at McDuff's, and those were fairly successful. It was busy. It was a busy time of year. Like, the baseball game was happening at the same time. Shout out real quick to the Sandpoint baseball team who made state, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. They're doing great.
Ranked number 2 in the state. Like, it's really cool that it just brings more light to Sandpoint and what the community is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we had a great time there, great turnout from a lot of parents and a lot of community just to support the event. And then all of those funds then go towards purchasing the prizes and just making the event go on. But 100% of what is given goes back to the kids. So it's a completely voluntary committee. And so we have committee members that have seniors, and then we have committee members that don't. They just want to be involved in.
Oh.
And so that's really cool.
Nice. I was going to ask you if there were non-graduate parents
there
involved.
There are people that don't have kids that just want to be involved in the committee. So it's been a really cool experience to watch just people come together from different areas of life, and people that just moved up here, people that are fourth generation, and just watching everybody come together and really support this event to keep our kids safe.
So your expenses include like renting the fairground building.
Well, actually, huge shout out to the fairgrounds because they support us fully and they have for years. And they a lot of times donate it. So it's for our use for the kids.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
It's an amazing event.
Yeah. So how much money does it take to put on?
So over the course of the last few years, our goal was to raise $70,000. Mm-hmm. We have 255 seniors, which is a larger class. And so if you kind of do the math on that, if we spent $100 per senior on a gift, it would come out to about $25,000. But our goal was to reach $270 per senior so we could get them something really, really nice. And so right now we're reaching about $40,000. And so most of that will probably have a few expenses other than buying the prizes and supporting the swag bags. But all of that goes back into the seniors.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what kind of food do you have? I'm always interested in food.
So this year, the food committee, a little subcommittee, has decided that they want to, the main course will be smash burgers. And if you came to McDuff's on Friday night, that was a little precursor to what it'll taste like. But we get a ton of food donated from local businesses that, like, we have pizzas and we have mac and cheese and some other things that are donated from local businesses just to support the night so that the kids get a taste of everything. Maybe they haven't eaten at 113. And so they'll get something from there that they can taste. And it just gives them a taste of what Sandpoint A has to offer. And then B sees the restaurants and the other places that are just supporting what they're doing. So
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. I imagine as a senior, that must feel kind of cool to see that community support. You know, to see all these. Yeah, the restaurants are there to serve food and stuff like that. Just who is there? Who's involved in the graduation night itself? It's a bunch of seniors and all of their parents. Some of their parents.
No. It's just volunteers. Okay. So. Mm-hmm. If parents want to volunteer, that's eligible to be there, but the committee will be there.
Okay.
And then
how many people is that about?
Roundabout, we'll probably have 50 volunteers, give or take.
Yeah.
Okay. So about 300 people.
Yeah.
Just given a total effort, but mm-hmm. we don't want the kids to worry about anything. So just having parent volunteers sign up and.
And this is a one-time event for each graduating class. Do you take the template from last year and run it again, knowing that none of these kids have been there before, or do you make changes?
So each year, we send out a theme, kind of what would you want the theme to be for grad night early on mm-hmm. in the year? And they choose this year.
The
students. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And so they do. This year was a beach theme, so they wanted a beach party theme. And so we're kind of catering the decorations and the food and mm-hmm. and everything to support that. And so last year they had around the world, and so they had different sections of the building set up like different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And so what we try to do is to keep continuity between like processes between the years, mm-hmm. but. Every year is different. So we do the best we can with what we have to make the best possible event possible.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do for a beach party at the fairground?
Oh, that's a surprise.
Oh, okay.
You'll see the pictures. They'll come out on Instagram and Facebook. But I mean, if you think beach party, we're going to do our best. I don't know if you saw Old School, but I got a sand guy. No, I'm just kidding. I can get it for a price. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
Blanket Bingo. That was a movie back in the
sand is
50s.
Sand's or 60s. Easy to come by here in Sandpoint. It's I think you could do something there, but I'm not sure what the fairgrounds is gonna how much the fairgrounds would appreciate that. Let's see. So grad night begins at like, what's I guess the run of like the day for a student, for a Sandpoint High School student? They go to their graduation and then they go to probably they go home or go eat you know, go hang out with their family. Maybe they have a graduation party of their own. But then at what time are they, what happens then, I guess?
So we open the building to them at 9:30 and mm-hmm. They come in and check in, and then the party begins.
And you said breathalyzer. So everybody's breathalyzed
when
they come in?
Yeah, they mm-hmm. they come in and
so it isn't like I can go get buzzed before I
exactly.
go and then I
mm-hmm.
can go.
Yeah, and so we have police on duty, and then the school resource officer will be there as well that will breathalyze the kids as they come in.
Uh-huh.
And then they will go on and have a party until about 3 a.m. And we'll send them on their way.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So who are some of the businesses involved that have donated goods or services?
Oh, I mean, it's a laundry list.
Have you got
list.
A list you can I tell
mean,
us about?
Off the top of my head, we have the fairgrounds, of course, the Bonner County Sheriff Department, the Ponderay Police Department, the Sandpoint Police Department, 113 Maine, Glahey and Associates, Bleeding Hearts Tattoo has been huge. We have, I mean, the list goes on and on. Papa Murphy's held a takeover night for us. We had McDuff's was huge for us last Friday. The Ponderay Winery was huge for us last Thursday. We've had a plethora of baskets sent. Silverwood sent us a basket. Schweitzer sent us a basket. We have, I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot, but those are kind of the main contributors that we've seen just continue to bless this community. I mean, there's no other word for it. They're just, everybody gives something, and it's pretty amazing to watch. As Sandpoint grows, there's a lot of organizations and clubs that, you know, ask for donations, and just to watch this community come together and really bless these kids. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of options that they could give their money or their goods to, mm-hmm. and they just continue to bless our organization. So I couldn't be happier with the turnout. Mm-hmm. We have a couple more fundraisers that are coming up. Papa Murphy's is a takeover on the 20th of May. So if you don't feel like cooking that night, we'll do a takeover with them. And then a really cool thing that happened this year is we had Truckin' Delicious food truck.
Mm-hmm.
She did a lasagna, like a take home lasagna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was really successful and an amazing contribution from Hawkins. Mm-hmm. They gave some meat to help make those lasagnas. And Elizabeth Hawkins has been amazing for us this year. She's held all of our prize drawing takeovers at like Super One and Yolks. I don't know if you've seen the tables out there, but she has just done amazing things for us. Not only physically, but they also donated a cow to the prize drawing. So
wow.
That's one of the options that you can choose to pick. And so she's just been amazing for us over this year. And then Teresa Gavin hosts barrel racing.
Mm-hmm.
And so May 24th, there's a barrel racing event, and we're going to have prize drawing tickets out there. We're going to have a couple silent auction items, and just watching the different areas of Sandpoint just come together. I think that's like moving here in 2021. I used to come here for Lost in the 50s every year, and I used to come for 4th of July. And so we would come watch the parades and hang out with my aunt and my uncle who've been here for like 50 years. But living here and actually seeing what the community does to support each other has been amazing. Like, new people that moved here have bought in and said, you know, we moved here for a reason. And just watching that has been absolutely amazing.
So these raffle tickets, Justin, where does somebody find out about the raffle so that they could buy the tickets? Is there an online presence for that?
There is. The Facebook page has all of our QR codes.
Oh, okay.
And so if you scan that, you can buy them digitally. They're always available at Bleeding Hearts Tattoo.
Okay.
They host an always available prize drawing ticket.
Okay.
You can purchase it from them. We'll be at Lost in the 50s at the booth.
Okay.
But the social medias is really where we press the QR codes. And so on Facebook, if you just search SHS Grad Night,
okay,
it will pop up, and there's a huge presence there. All the events, everything that we're doing is okay. there. And then on Instagram, it's at shs.grad.night. And again, everything that's posted is there. And we have a fairly large email list that we send it out to as well. Uh-huh. But definitely the social media is where it's very active. It's very live. And so those posts go out almost every day.
And when does the raffle drawing happen?
It'll happen the week of grad night. I believe it's June 2nd is when the actual drawing will happen. But we also have the silent auction that's going on. We have a bunch of baskets up there. There will be a QR code to scan for that as well. And that will end May 23rd. And okay. So we're giving people an opportunity to.
Okay. So we need to get on social media and mm-hmm. check out the prizes. How much are the tickets?
So the prize drawing tickets are $5 a piece, mm-hmm. or you can get 5 for $20. And then the auction items, obviously, will just go for the bids. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Cool.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm. I pulled up the Facebook page. I'm scrolling right now.
Oh, cool. Tell me.
I got hung up on the Trucking Delicious.
they, lasagna?
I guess they were doing breakfast burritos yeah, as well.
She actually did breakfast May burritos.
9th. Yeah. There you go. What is this? We've got the flowers, a cake, a picture of, yes, cakes, flowers. Oh, this is for the...
That was for Mother's Day,
That's for Mother's Day. Yeah, that was for the... cool.
Another really cool thing that connected with Grad Night that I think is going to help over the years is there's a flower company that does graduation flowers, and they're willing to come in and they set up a booth at graduation for those of us that procrastinate, like myself. And you can buy your like lays and flowers for your grad there. But we're doing pre-sales as well. And the really cool thing about this company is they give a percentage of sales back to Grad Night.
Okay.
And so we have the opportunity to raise money at no cost to us other than what the flowers. I mean, that's not cost to Grad Night, but all of us want to, you know, celebrate our grads. And so that is, to me, like a really cool option mm-hmm. For people that actually supports the community as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We're talking to Justin Croft. I'm sorry, I struggle with the,
that's okay.
the PF in the last name. That's always difficult for me. He's the president of the parent committee for Sandpoint High School's Grad Night this year with two graduating seniors in his
I
class.
Do.
So are you going to stay involved in Grad Night after your seniors are no longer, you know, graduating?
I definitely plan to be involved in the organization, probably not at this capacity.
Yeah.
But anything that has to do with promoting the community and helping our kids see a future mm-hmm. and celebrating them, I will definitely do that.
Okay. Rolling back about 5 minutes, barrel racing on May 24th.
Oh, yeah.
That's so, at the fairground?
No, that's no. at, so Teresa Gavin, just there'll be a post about that.
Okay.
But she hosts barrel racing on a regular basis, competitive barrel racing.
At a ranch or
yeah.
something?
Oh. Huh. And so that's a really cool event. If you've never been to something like that, there'll be some good stuff happening out there.
Hmm.
Well, that's cool. No, I've...
you into barrel racing, Jack?
No.
How about your
wife? It sounds cool. I would love to go see it. I think I've never been. I've never seen it.
Have you? You've never seen the event, like on television or something?
I don't think so.
Huh?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's a rodeo event.
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess I know what it is. I've been to the Sandpoint Rodeo before, so I must have seen it.
Yeah.
It must have been one of the events.
Yes.
That was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's rodeo's very exciting, and so you can go on May 24th to see a barrel racing event, and it will support Sandpoint Grad Night in some way.
So what's our date tonight, today? What is it?
14th.
Yes.
Okay, so you got to make your plans, 10 mm-hmm. days.
That's right.
Yeah.
Carrie, what was your high school graduation like? What'd you do? Go to a big party afterwards?
There were just individual parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a friend's house, and there were some people there, and we went swimming.
Okay.
And had good food. That mm-hmm. was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I did our high school grad night was similar to the Sandpoint High School one, but it was actually at the school.
Okay.
They locked down the high school after, yeah, after graduation. So that was fun.
My kids graduated in the late 80s, and the first one, the oldest one, I don't think they had a grad night. What they did instead, they had parents, I volunteered for this, on standby to be available to transport incapacitated kids who may have been drinking someplace. But the second child, they did have a grad night, but it was hosted like 30 miles from home at a playland type place, you know? And I guess some people went, but my son didn't go. So I don't know.
Yeah. Sandpoint does it in a pretty intelligent way, I think. Do most kids go to this?
Yeah, we have a, I think last year, a vast majority.
Yeah.
So it was, it's really cool. When my son graduated 2022, they did as well. I think it's something that isn't talked about until we're reaching graduation, but the buzz grows and the energy grows to like, let's make this thing happen. Especially because it's been happening and just continuing that culture.
Yeah.
So when did the planning and execution actually start? Were you guys starting in January or February? Or
it was around January timeframe, but there's a lot of work that leads up to the first meetings and things like that. And so the goal is, from the previous year, to bring as much forward as possible. And so my goal as president is to set up the next committee or the next president or the subcommittees with as much information and connects as possible. And so that's my goal now is as we do the event is the transition process. And so getting with the restaurants early to get those takeover nights so we can, you know, spread them out evenly, maybe start a little bit earlier. And then knowing that businesses usually make budget decisions going towards October of what they're going to be able to donate, what they're going to be able to give to organizations is to get to them, you know, July, August timeframe of saying, hey, don't forget grad night is happening. And we want to be put into the budget of, you know, can you support this cause? And so kind of working that way as well.
So almost like a debrief between the current people running grad night and the ones that are coming forward.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And pass on the binder with all the.
Pass on the baton.
Yeah. How did we ask already how you got, like how you got involved? Did you step up and volunteer? Or did somebody ask you?
So I did. The last year's president wanted to take a break. And so I hesitantly volunteered because I do work a lot and I work in Spokane. And so just being away from the city, if something's happening, trying to get back here or making phone calls and trying to make that happen, I was hesitant. But again, so much support. Shout out to Erica Bates, who has helped me immensely in the background, just like answering emails and continuing the conversation about grad night. Her care for these kids is amazing, and she doesn't even have a senior. And so I had a huge step up from Sarah Glahey. She's the vice president. Janelle Lindley is the secretary, and I have Anita Palmer is the sergeant at arms. We have Alana and Shayna are our treasurers, and Ashley and Christina are our prize, or excuse me, our decorator, food, and then games that happen there. So Christina is over food, and Ashley is over decorations and games. And then Jeanette is also helping Ashley with the games and the decorations. And then Erica and John Bates stayed on as advisors. And what's really cool is that all of us work full-time jobs. Like, we all have a lot going on. But watching all of these people come together and make just the momentum that we've made. Mm-hmm. Everybody has stepped up like crazy. Like,
are you a 501c3?
We are not. We are actually a what is it called?
I know what you mean. You don't have the incorporation papers.
Yeah, it's an unincorporated nonprofit committee. Mm-hmm. And so the state of Idaho is one of two states that recognizes how this committee is set up. And the reason that that works well is the handoff. So every mm-hmm. year you're handing off to a volunteer from one, like from me as the president, I'm handing off to another president who is a volunteer, and it's such a short stint that the way that that works is we just sign a paper that transfers the responsibility. The treasurers go into the bank and transfer responsibility of the bank account, and without having to resubmit to the IRS every single year, it allows us to be a nonprofit but not have to resubmit that paperwork every single year and wait for them to approve it.
So are the deductions tax deductible? Nice. Mm-hmm. Federal and state?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I saw a shadow outside of our door.
Okay.
I think our next guest is waiting in the wings. But Justin, what are you doing on graduation night? Can you say?
Yeah.
What
is your job? On graduation night, I will be walking around and making sure that everything is functioning properly. Mm-hmm. Again, with the subcommittees, we have people that have stepped up and really owned mm-hmm. their area so that we have kind of that push of work to those areas. So they're building their volunteer teams. And then if anything comes up that they can't make the decision, then that's what I'm there to do. But be on the lookout. There's casino games like Mock, of course. We're not letting mm-hmm. the kids gamble. There'll be a non-alcoholic bar, but set up to where they're ordering drinks that look like, cocktails. You know, cocktails, mocktails. Mm-hmm. There'll be a DJ. There's a lot of activities. And then there's some beach related fun that the kids
that
will be
not,
able to have.
He's not going to tell us about
no,
that.
No,
we got to keep the surprise. We got to keep a little bit of,
so you're going to be the front of the house manager.
Yeah. I'll be mm-hmm. walking around and just making sure that everything happens the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Wonderful.
So the dates of relevance, we have a Papa Murphy's takeover on May 20th.
Yes.
You got the barrel racing on May 24th. That, is now I need to learn about barrel racing. I need to educate myself about this. And this weekend is Lost in the 50s, and people can go and check out the booth.
Yes.
You'll be represented down on Main Street.
Yes. Yeah. And one other date is May 23rd. That's, mm-hmm. that silent auction that's online that's the last day to be able to bid on those baskets.
Okay.
And so making sure that we get the most for our kids.
Okay.
Okay. So the silent auction closes in 9 days.
That's right.
Okay. If somebody doesn't do Facebook or Instagram, is there a website too that they can go to that this stuff is on?
There is. The best way to get there is through the social medias. We don't have like a direct website that they can go to. But any questions or concerns, you can reach out to us, SHS Grad Night Parent Committee @gmail.com.
Okay.
Or Bleeding Hearts Tattoo. They have a plethora of information to get a hold of what those things look like.
Does one of them have a graduating senior?
That's the amazing part is they don't.
Huh.
They have a younger son, but their two oldest have already graduated.
Huh.
And so they just wanted to stay committed to the cause. Huh. And so that it's just really amazing to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Cool.
Yeah. Well, have a fun night.
Yes.
We will.
I'm sure you will.
Go Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Right.
Yes, go Bulldogs. And I'm going to play a little music before we bring in our next guest. Justin, this was a wonderful conversation. Anything else you want to say about grad night?
No, just a huge thank you to the community. Thank you to you guys for having me on today.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of better words, it really is amazing to just watch this community come together, support these kids, give them one last hurrah before, you know, separating, going to college or, mm-hmm. you know, starting work or, you know, just one last day that they can be kids and.
And create mm-hmm. nice memories.
Yeah. Unforgettable yeah. memories. Yeah. That's one thing that no money can buy.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a cool kind of cap to your whole high school career, to your whole. Yeah. Your whole.
One last celebration.
Education in, you know, or your pre-college education, I guess. What do we call that? K-12. There should be a better word for that. Okay.
It's high school.
Yeah, high school. Okay. So it was, first of all, Lost in the 50s this weekend. This is me, and you can go and check out Grad Night there. It was on this date in 1957 that Elvis Presley was rushed to the hospital after swallowing a porcelain cap from one of his front teeth, mm-hmm. which then lodged itself in one of his lungs. Mm. And so because it's Lost in the 50s, I thought I'd play an Elvis song, an appropriate one for our next guest. Stay tuned. We're talking to Dig Krismer.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
play.
Oh, it's obvious, isn't it? We're talking to Dig Krismer from the Better Together Animal Alliance, and we'll be right back after a little Elvis.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. That was Elvis Presley. We played a little hound dog there. Thanks to Justin Croft for coming in and talking to us about Grad Night. And now we are joined by Dig Krismer, the storytelling and public relations manager for the Better Together Animal Alliance. This is a cool event that Carrie and I both have lots of questions about.
I heard that. Yeah. Yes, I'm excited that you're giving me the opportunity to answer them.
Yes.
So thank you.
Jim Healy just called to let us know that he is tuned in, and he wanted to tell you, Carrie, specifically, that he does remember Beach Blanket Bingo and with Annette Funicello.
She was one of the original Mouseketeers, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Just dated myself.
I've never seen that film, but I know
can't
of it.
Say that you missed
No, I know. Yeah, I know. I know its reputation.
Frankie Avalon, I think,
was
in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's in San Francisco, and wishes us all a good morning.
Good morning,
you
Jim
as
Healy.
Well, Jim.
Yeah.
Dig.
Yes.
The Better Together Animal Alliance. You're talking about kind of an event that's not happening until June, but you have an important kind of cutoff.
We do.
Tomorrow.
We do. So, okay. Yes, the project that I am very thankful that you're letting me have some airtime to talk about is the Good Neighbors Fencing Project that we are doing in partnership with Cedar Hills Church and Humble and Black Real Estate. And the premise is that we, Better Together, hence the name, mm-hmm. we know that pets and people are better together. And so we would like to make sure that we can help families keep their pets safe. And we've had some calls to our helpline over the years where people are struggling with fencing issues and being able to keep their animals close to home. And so Cedar Hills Church has a Serve Sandpoint Day on June 14th. And they kindly, wonderfully offered to do 3 volunteer projects with us. That they will go build fences for neighbors that need them to keep their pets safe and at home, which is wonderful. And then Humble and Black has stepped up that they're providing the resources for us to buy the fencing materials. So therefore, there's no cost to anyone who applies for the program. We'll select 3 families. The deadline is tomorrow, hence one of the reasons I'm very grateful to get the message out. We've had a handful of applications, but really want to make sure people are aware. And if people have a big need, that they can take advantage of this opportunity. So we'll get the materials purchased, and then the lovely volunteers from Cedar Hills on the 14th of June will get together and dispatch out to the 3 different project sites and build some fences. So that's the
wonderful
crux of it. It's pretty simple in nature. We're very excited about this.
Do you have applications already?
We have a handful. We have about six or seven at this point. And unfortunately, it is geographically restricted to mm-hmm. Kootenai, Dover, Sandpoint, Sagal, Pondere. So kind of in our little corridor. And unfortunately, some of the applicants that we've seen are from outside of that district, which I think shows that there's a greater need than we realized. So we'll see how it goes with this first round. And if we can pull this off successfully, maybe in the future we can do more and reach out a little bit broader. But right now we're going to stick to this kind of area. Mm-hmm. So if you live in any of those areas and your FIDO keeps escaping, or you have need to fix a partial fence, or you don't have any fencing, we're going to do about a 30 square feet maximum 5 feet tall, kind of a, you know, wire fencing that'll help kind of have a contained mm-hmm. space to help mm-hmm. keep dogs in mm-hmm. at home.
Okay.
Yeah. And the applications are on the website. Mm-hmm. So people can go to bettertogether.org. There's a pop-up on the front page that you can click on that'll take you directly to the application. We've been sharing it on social media, but if you don't have access to a computer or you don't like social media, which I totally respect and understand, you are welcome to pick up a paper application and fill that out at Better Together Animal Alliance in Pondere, or also at the Bonner Community Food Bank, or you can reach out to us at the shelter, and we'll happily send you, email you a copy of the application for you to get back to us by tomorrow. So once we get the applications together, we'll select the three project sites and let them know by the beginning of June, and then the event will happen on the 14th.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Pops right up. Apply for the Good Neighbors Fencing Project.
Yeah, because you know the saying, right? Good neighbors, mm-hmm.
yeah,
good fences make good neighbors. And so mm-hmm. we've seen that with, you know, there can be times when sharing neighborhood space can be complicated. And when people have, you know, some animals that like to go exploring, that can also be challenging. So hopefully this will help mm-hmm. keep things calmer. So.
It looks like a pretty simple application.
Very.
Just need to know, your name and, yes. Do you rent or own your home is one question. And
yes.
If you're renting, do you have permission from your landlord to install a fence? Mm-hmm.
Important detail. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Right. that would be quite a blunder, I suppose, to show up and build a fence.
That would be a whole other project.
Yeah.
What are you doing to my place?
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
But, and again, like, fencing is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So this, again, it you know, it's not a full wood fence that's going to, you know, 30 acres. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
This is providing a simple solution to help really keep pets safe.
Yeah.
And we see it all the time that, you know, a lot of people just don't have the means to build some sort of enclosure to keep their animals safe and they want to keep their animals. So how can we step in to kind of help make sure that bond stays strong? So we're very grateful for the volunteers from Cedar Hills who will put in the sweat equity on this one. And then Humble and Black, just being able to provide the resources to buy the materials made it possible for us to offer this to three different projects.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning we were thinking we would only be able to do one. So it's just, again, it's just wonderful neighbors helping each other out, which is mm-hmm. lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So mm-hmm. we're just really excited about it.
And a partial repair is also a possibility.
We can consider that as well. And then you can explain on the application, there are questions mm-hmm. like, tell us about your fencing situation. Do you have a fence, or did you have one, or why do you need a fence?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your dog or dogs. Like, we want to know who you are and what's going on so that we can, you know, best help you with this project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, again, dogs are better at home. So if we can keep your animals at home safe with you and a little fence is going to make the difference, then you are the perfect people to apply for this project.
So how did you come up with the idea for this? Was it based on people making repeat visits to your facility because their dog got out or whatever?
That has happened. I mean, uh-huh. that definitely can be an issue that we see come through our doors. At the end of the day, the dogs... Better Together is a wonderful location. We take very good care of the animals in the building and in our care. But that's not the best place for them. The best place for cats and dogs is to be home with their families.
Right.
And so if we can help keep animals out of the shelter by getting them a safe, secure space at home, that's a win for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where this idea came up, that if we can just continue to support the community by, okay, here's a way, we'll build you a fence. If that keeps your dog at home with you where they want to be and it's the safest place for them and it avoids a shelter stay, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that's really the goal of it. More preventative thinking ahead of the curve and kind of upstream rather than trying to deal with the problem when it shows up at our door.
That's the solution you've come up with in response to people's dogs being taken to the shelter because they got out.
So that's kind of the crux of it.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody, any other shelters doing this kind of program or service that you're
I'm
aware
not aware of it in the region. Mm-hmm. There are some other shelters across the United States that are also trying to think like we are in terms of being a little bit, you know,
proactive
and think out of the box a little bit. But not in this region. I think this is the first time I've seen
good
this.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty exciting.
Do you have a dog?
I have four.
I was going to ask that question. So how many are new to you since you started working at the shelter?
It's a terrible story. Only one. Yeah, only one is new, and it's technically my daughter's dog. I have two very old Chihuahua dachshund mixes who are ancient. So they count as one dog. I like to lie. And then I have a four-year-old Australian Shepherd mix who is from Better Together, and he's hilarious and just a handful. And then we have this younger year-old dog, Calliope, who is some sort of cattle dog. Again, she came from Better Together, who is just a hoot. So I'm not allowed to take any more home, which is good. Because I have a good fence, thank God.
See, there was my follow-up question. How's your fencing
situation? My fence
situation
is very good, thank you.
With the four dogs.
The four dogs, it's very important to keep them at home with me. So that is, good neighbors.
Do you have a dog, Jack?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
You've got chickens, though, and you have a good fence around your chickens, I've noticed.
I do have, yes. I built that fence myself.
Wouldn't it have been nice to have somebody else come in and build the fence for you?
It really would have been nice.
Yeah.
that would have been a real weekend saver if I had that. But no, we have chickens and there's a fence for the chickens. But no, we don't have a fence. You have a fence, Carrie.
Uh-huh.
And you have a dog.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get it.
You get
it.
Totally.
Yeah.
You can speak firsthand. This is an important
thing.
Well,
and to the chicken point, a lot of people do have backyard chickens now, mm-hmm. both in town and out in the county. Mm-hmm. Some dogs think they're fun to chase and catch, right?
Yes.
So, and that doesn't necessarily build a good relationship amongst neighbors. So again, if there's a fencing opportunity to make sure that your dog stays separate away from your chickens and contains mm-hmm. your dog so they're in a secure space so that they're not going after your neighbor's chickens, that's a win, you know, because then again, it builds a better relationship between you and the people you live next door to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of good to this.
Yeah. Or your neighbor's dog coming in using your yard as their bathroom.
Well, that
which
could
is
be an
not
issue too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some Easter eggs, as it were. Yeah. Yeah. So applications technically close tomorrow. So if anyone is interested, please get online today and fill out the application. We'll notify the selected projects in the beginning of June with the June 14th date. And we're just really, again, I can't thank the gang at Cedar Hills and Humble and Black just for being, they're awesome just to be able to take on this project and see the value in it. And we're really, really grateful for those partnerships. Sometimes it's easy to get lost in other things in our little town. So it's nice when we can celebrate that this is a true partnership of wanting to help neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. So it's great.
The application's pretty simple. And if you need a fence or you know somebody who needs a fence, yes, this is you have one day left.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
And worth doing.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have some radio station business to attend to here, if I may. A shout out to the crew yesterday, if you'll permit me to say thank you to everyone who showed up to our highway cleanup yesterday at 9:30. We have a new stretch of highway, Adopt a Highway. KRFY has moved their Adopt a Highway section to north of town, and it was a lovely morning picking up along Highway 95.
What was the craziest thing you guys found?
Probably a duck decoy.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was cool, and it had broken in such a way that like somebody found just the head of the duck, and that So yeah, that was perhaps the neatest thing. And then a lot of, yeah, a lot of the usual refuse tires and things. But it was, no, it was actually a pretty pleasant morning. And thanks to Scott and Julie Prochinski, John and Susan Bates Harbuck, Russ Tomlin and Julie Calamine, who along with myself cleaned up most of that mile until we ran out of trash bags, and we'll be back probably in September. But it was, you know, not too bad a job when you break, you know, break it up with people.
Does ITD give you the bags?
ITD helps out a lot. Yeah, they do. They provide the bags.
And they pick up.
And they pick it up. So it's not like.
You're hauling it in the back of your Subaru.
Right. Yeah, exactly. let's see. It is Lost in the 50s weekend. Dig, are you in town for Lost in the 50s weekend?
I am. Surprisingly, usually this weekend is one where you might have to go to like a lacrosse tournament or soccer tournament or something. So I'm excited to actually be in town this year. So, yeah. It's just scary when you see the first car that you ever learned to drive is actually now considered Lost in the 50s eligible. Uh-huh. I'm like, whoa. So
heritage.
It's a heritage car. Yeah.
Vintage.
But, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll run down a few of the upcoming events. Thursday, May 14th. Why that's today. There's a welcome party at Connie's Cafe from 5 to 8 p.m.
Oh, yay.
Tomorrow, Cars and Coffee from 9 to 11 a.m. hosted by the Idaho Club with coffee and donuts. And then the annual cruise and parade is at 6 o'clock p.m. And then I mentioned already that street party near the city parking lot and the fountain. And then on Saturday, classic and custom vehicles will line 1st, 2nd, and 3rd avenues for the popular car show.
You know, and if you don't have 50s apparel and you want to get dressed up, don't forget to go hit up the Better Together thrift store so that you can find whatever you might need. I know that our retail manager, Steve, has stocked the place. So pop in there and see if you can find skirts and scarves and jackets and shoes and costume apparel to get yourself decked out for Lost in the 50s.
Cool. Friday night at the fairgrounds, there's Rocky and the Rollers on Friday, and then Chubby Checker on Saturday night.
No way. Yes.
Chubby Checker. Still with us.
I know.
Still twisting, I guess.
Maybe that's why he's still with us.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see, there's Natural Connections at the library this weekend from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Lots of events, mostly around, it looks like, healthy eating, health-related natural connections at the Sandpoint Library. And the 50s themed dance party is at Sandpoint Community Hall on Saturday, May 16th at 5:45 p.m. There's a swing dance lesson from 6 to 7 and then open dancing from 7 to 9 at the at Community Hall on Saturday night.
And then you can be all skilled at going out to the event at the fairgrounds.
Yes. Maybe, yes. They'll teach you how to dance for Chubby Checker. Probably so. On Tuesday, coming up, we have another little live radio hour with JoJo Dodge at The Hive at 7 p.m. That's a KRFY event, as well as co-sponsored with the festival at Sandpoint, and it takes place at The Hive, 207 North 1st Avenue, and it's free. You can also tune in and listen in if you want to catch us on the radio instead. But it's fun when people come out to see those in person.
And when is that?
7 p.m. on Tuesday night.
Okay.
And it's actually JoJo Dodge. She was at the festival last year at Community Night. Great Coeur d'Alene-based performer. She's leaving town, going to L.A. To seek her musical fortune. So this is a bit of a farewell show.
Big send-off.
Yeah. So come down and see this one. Let's see. It's 9 o'clock. 88.5 KRFY Pondere is who you're tuned into. I feel like there was one more thing I wanted to say before we go. Oh, Dig. Did you know that we are now doing? We are having live DJs in the studio from 5 to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday.
I did not know that.
Yes, and I'm trying to get Mr. Will Clark to come in and do a shift sometime in June.
I think he would love that.
I think the community would love that.
Well, we will. Okay. I will share that message with Mr. Will Clark.
Yes. I sent him a message to find out when he's coming back.
June 14th.
Okay. Cool.
Says his mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so tonight at 5 o'clock, Bob Hahn is here appropriately because he's our 50s guy, and he will be kicking off Lost in the 50s on KRFY with some, Autos Eclectic Mix, but also 50s music.
Just plain Bob?
Just plain Bob. Yep. Okay. Well, happy Lost in the 50s, everybody.
You too. As well.
Dig, thanks again for coming in.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate the time.
It's the Good Fences Project. You can apply the applications on the Better Together Animal Alliance.org website. Okay. Time for Bird Note. And thanks for listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5.